All right, let's jump right in. Picture this. You're dealing with aircraft parts, a client overseas needs a repair, and suddenly you're drowning in import-export regulations. It's enough to make anyone's head spin.
It definitely can feel overwhelming.
That's why we're diving into valuation and compliance for articles repaired for overseas customers from Aviation Maintenance Magazine today.
A timely topic for sure.
We'll break it down, make it clear, so you can confidently navigate these U.S. compliance rules and get those aircraft parts back in the air. So let's start with the basics. Informal versus formal entry for aircraft parts coming into the U.S. What's the deal?
Good place to start. Think of informal entry like the express lane. If that part's value is under $2,500, things generally move pretty smoothly. But, and this is key for our aviation folks' repair stations, they actually get a bit of a break. They have a higher limit, $10,000 for informal entry.
$10,000. Wow, that is a significant difference. Why the special treatment for repair stations?
It's all about supporting U.S. manufacturing. A lot of these parts, they actually originated in the U.S., they're just coming back for a little tune-up. So, this exception helps expedite the process, keeps things efficient.
Okay, so it's like a quick visit back home for the part. So, knowing which entry category you're dealing with from the get-go, that's critical, right?
Absolutely, it sets the stage for the entire process.
All right, so let's say we've got a part and it needs to go through that formal entry process. What kind of paperwork are we talking about here?
You're going to need a few key documents. First and foremost, CBP forms, those are your Customs and Border Protection forms, kind of like the entry ticket for your part.
Right, making sure everything is declared and above board. What else?
You also need your invoices, those are crucial. They outline the value of the part, other important details. And don't forget about a packing list. Think of that as a roadmap for customs to see exactly what's in the shipment.
Okay, so it's a package deal. The forms, the invoices, packing list, and of course, having clear contact information. Can't forget that.
Exactly. Having all your ducks in a row from the beginning can really save you headaches down the line, especially if you need a license exception down the road to send that repaired part back.
License exceptions. Now that sounds a bit intimidating. What are those exactly, and how do these import documents play into that?
Think of license exceptions like special permissions. Sometimes you need them to export specific items, including certain aircraft parts. And this is where those detailed import documents you mentioned, they become your best friend.
Okay, I'm really curious now. How so?
Let's say you're dealing with a part that falls under these export regulations. When you apply for a license exception, having those original import documents, especially the CBP forms with the correct values clearly declared, well, it shows the authorities that this part is simply returning home after its repair. It backs up your case, makes the whole process smoother.
So it's all about proving the part's history, showing it's not something new trying to be exported. Clever.
Exactly. It's about transparency and being compliant. And those import documents, they're key to demonstrating both. Remember, we talked about the electronic export information or EEI earlier?
Right, the EEI.
Making sure those values on the EEI match up with your initial import declaration, that's crucial.
Got it. So it's all about consistency throughout the entire journey of this
I
part.
got it. Now let's switch gears for a second. What happens if that repair doesn't go as planned? Maybe the damage is too extensive or the cost to repair is just way too high?
Okay, so a what-if scenario. What happens then? Do we still need all that export paperwork, even if the part wasn't actually repaired?
Yes, you absolutely still need to follow the correct export procedures, even for those unrepaired items. And remember that original import value that was declared on that CBP form 7501,
Yeah.
that number is still important. You'll need to reference it for your export documentation.
Even if the part is essentially coming back as it went out.
Interesting. So consistency really is key throughout this whole import repair export cycle. Absolutely. It keeps everything transparent and helps you avoid any issues with customs, both here in the US and in your client's country. And speaking of your client,
Their import process. How does this all impact them?
well, it can actually make a big difference when it comes to their own import duties and taxes. A consistent and accurate value declaration from the get-go, that can save them a lot of headaches.
Like you said, transparency helps everyone involved. So we've covered a lot of ground here. Started with what seemed like a pretty straightforward repair scenario, but then dove into this whole network of import-export regulations.
It's definitely more complex than it appears on the surface, and it just goes to show you those details, those seemingly minor details in your documentation. They can have some major implications.
Absolutely. This deep dive has been incredibly informative. So, as we wrap up, what's the key takeaway our listeners should keep in mind when navigating this world of compliance?
I think the biggest thing to remember is that regulations, they're constantly evolving. What's standard practice today might be different tomorrow, especially in a global industry like aviation. Staying updated is critical.
So it's an ongoing learning process. Any resources you'd recommend for keeping up with all these changes?
Absolutely. The International Traffic in Arms Regulations, or ATARs, are essential reading for anyone involved with exporting defense articles. And that includes a lot of aircraft parts.
The ITARs, got it. Definitely sounds like required reading. Any final advice for our listeners who might be feeling a little overwhelmed with all this information?
You know, don't be afraid to reach out to the experts. There are folks like freight forwarders, regulatory consultants who specialize in this stuff. They can help you navigate all the complexities.
Great advice. Sometimes it's best to lean on the pros. Well, on that note, we've come to the end of our deep dive into U.S. compliance for overseas aircraft part repairs. Hopefully you're feeling a bit more informed and maybe even empowered to handle those import-export challenges.
It's been a pleasure.
And remember, this is just the beginning of your compliance journey. Stay curious, stay informed, and until next time, happy flying.